These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God, the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. And in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees, to fear the Lord our God, so that we may always prosper and be kept alive, as in the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's take a moment just to pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us today as ever before. And Lord, we need that. We need you to guide us, Lord, in our confused world, in the difficulties, Lord, in our society, particularly our local community around us, many having no thought of you, knowing nothing of you. We pray that you be merciful to us and help us to understand your word, and that, Lord, we might be blessed in obeying your word and keeping, Lord, what you have guided us with this morning. Feed us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. May our hearts, Lord, be yours. As we have worshipped you with song, now we want to worship you with your word, taking your word to heart. Bless the week, Lord, ahead for our church. There's so much going on, and we pray that you would be in every activity, and that, Lord, you would be glorified in everything that's said and done. And again, as we meet next Sunday for this very special day in our church life, but in our nation's life, again, we pray for your presence, bringing peace and help and hope to all who gather with us in this place. Speak to us now, Lord. We've asked that you would speak through your word. Take it to our hearts personally and for us corporately as your people, as your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you got a good memory? What's your earliest memory? It always amazes me, talking to people on this subject. Some people can really remember, like, being in a pushchair, you know, like sort of right back then. I'm not quite sure what my earliest memory is, but I don't think it's that far back. What about your first church memory? You remember the first time you went to church? This church, perhaps, when you came in for the first time. Remember the first person to meet you and say, you know, hopefully say hello. And memories. And what about a memory of the Lord's work in your life? Is there something you think back to? A precious time, a special memory. God was at work. I hope he's still at work. But can you think back to a time? Presumably, you know, when you gave your life to the Lord, if you're a believer, that moment and all that was going on at that time. We have memories, don't we? November is a month for remembering. This week, remember the 5th of November. Gunpowder, treason and plots. I see no reason why gunpowder, treason should ever be forgot. Next Sunday, remembrance service. And then on the Monday, of course, that special day. Remember in November. Memories, though, are supposed to be more than fuzzy, warm moments. They could be useful, can't they? If you do something and you remember it didn't work very well, you won't do it again, hopefully. Or you'll learn from it. You avoid making the same mistake with the aid of memory. I shared a memory with you. As I say, I shall not forget that memory, certainly for a long time. My knees have not knocked together quite as much, but there you go. But I want to look with you at things we are to remember. And I'll probably do this more on a Sunday evening as the month unfolds. But I wanted to just pick up verse 12. It's an incredible thought. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord. That you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You know, we live in a world that is very fast-paced, isn't it? Or it can be. People dash around. And sometimes that leads to a bit of a slapdash approach to things. People being careful at what they do seems to be a bit of a rarity these days. Just push a few buttons and it'll be all done. In the search for meaning and purpose, people rush around. But sadly, they live careless lives in a desire to be carefree. Everybody wants to be carefree, but they live carelessly. And carelessness has consequences. But the Christian life is to be a careful life. It is a life of freedom, and we'll come to that through the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are to live carefully. And I don't know if you noticed in that passage, Moses says again and again to the people to be careful, to do this carefully. As the old saying goes, less haste, more speed. Less haste, more speed. Slow it down, a little more care gets the job done better. And that's a good maxim, a good premise for many, many things. But it's actually true of the Christian life as well. Be still and know that I am God, says the Lord. Slow it down. Wait on the Lord. Quiet your heart before him. Less haste and you'll get more done because you'll be in his power, in his strength, doing things his way. Well, let's consider this warning that Moses gives, as I say, of forgetting the Lord. And I want to do this with three questions this morning. And the first is the how question. How could we forget the Lord? I mean, is it possible? You've come to worship this morning, so am I speaking to the wrong people? I don't think so, because even as believers, there are things that happen. Situations develop And we can forget the Lord in the midst of all that goes on in our busy lives. But surely it's impossible. His fingerprints are everywhere. His handiwork for all to see in what we have in our world. But you know, as they say, I mean, sometimes we can miss the blindingly obvious. We can miss what's right under our nose. And the world goes on today doing exactly that. The creation of their maker, the glory, the splendor of it all around them, yet focusing in, I've got to get this done, I've got to get that done. Missing the obvious, not standing still to reflect and ponder who the Lord is, what the Lord has done for them. But what of Israel's experience in this? Their testimony is simply this, and this is what was passed on to the next generation. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. That's what's happened in the past. And they're now going into the promised land, as God promised. What an exciting time to live this must have been. Challenging, yes, there were battles ahead, but it was an exciting time. What God had said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was now unfolding and happening. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders. This generation was linked with what happened through Moses before Pharaoh. All that went on, that's their testimony. They were what they were because of the Lord. He had brought them to this point in their lives. Now, if you're a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, you know, you've come out of your Egypt, the darkness, into the light. You're on a journey through. And in one sense, you're kind of in the promised land already because of your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. But of course, we also refer to heaven as that ultimate destination. We are what we are because of Him. So how can we forget Him? How could we overlook what He has done? The Lord had promised them that the land that they were now entering would be theirs. In their need, the Lord had provided for them freedom from Pharaoh, and then food and water in the wilderness, the manna, the quail. The Lord had provided every day for them. And that's the situation. That's the problem. Or could be the problem that Moses flags up. How could they forget the Lord? Well, now they are settling. They were pilgrims, but now they are in the land. Their attention could be easily taken away by the blessings that they have, focusing on the blessings rather than the one who has blessed them. It's a great danger, even in Christian living. It speaks of a land with large flourishing cities. As they go into the promised land, okay, it was inhabited. They were to drive out the inhabitants. They were the instructions. And they went from living in tents and having to move through the wilderness day in, day out, to actually living in a fixed, flourishing city. What a transformation. I don't know about you, I like camping. I'll do it for a few days, but I wouldn't like to live forever in a tent. No more moving around in tents. That's what the deal is for them. This is now your home. And so there's a peace, a flourishing city. A city is a place of stability. If you're living in a tent in a wilderness, not only is it hard because of the conditions, but you're open to attack. But now if you're in a city, perhaps your city has walls. Certainly your house has walls. You're now in a much more peaceful place. You can sit there by the fire. And, you know, you're not moving on next week, the week after. You're where you are. You're settling. And the danger was that, again, they could look at what they have and forget the one who gave it to them. Houses filled with good things. As they left Egypt, they brought out, if you remember, some of the spoils of war. But here are more spoils of war. They are blessed. They are a wealthy people. They have resources. And with resources, of course, comes influence and power. So now they've got a bit of peace and they've got some power. Wells, vineyards, olive groves, and none of them you had to plant yourself. They're all there. Wow, sounds wonderful. Just pick the fruits. Wow, under the Lord's instruction. Daily provision in a different form. The Lord had provided every day for them as they'd worked their way in the wilderness. But now, what a wonderful convenience. They had these things available to them. So all that the Lord had provided was now in their hands to provide and to use. But it was not meant to take them away from the Lord. And as I say, the application to this for us is in our need. You know, sometimes when we have a need, I don't know if you find this, your faith increases. You pray more. Do you do that? When you've got a need, you pray more. You cry out to the Lord because you're desperate. You need the Lord. But when things are going well and you've got resources and you can just pull in this and draw in that and a favor to be called here from other people and other things, you can so easily just settle. Settle for doing it your way, not seeking the Lord. When life is good and things are ordered the way we would like, we do so often drift, making our own decisions about life without the Lord. Now, I bring these questions and application to you this morning as well as to myself, but have you forgotten the Lord in something this week, even? Have you run ahead with your own plans? Because sometimes we do that. We say, oh, I want to do this, 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 and this, and oh, Lord, bless this, please. Bless me in this. Or perhaps we're finding hitting an obstacle, a difficulty. Are we seeking the Lord's solution in the situation? And the Lord has blessed. Let's make this more positive. The Lord does bless us. But has what the Lord has given us taken over from what the Lord has? From the Lord himself, so that we just prefer the gift rather than the giver. It says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 that they exchanged the creation for the Creator. And there are many people doing that, perhaps appreciating the gifts. And they're not bad things. Family, friends, you know, even within church, fellowship's a great gift, isn't it? But did we come this morning to worship the living God? Or to meet up with some friends and catch up with people? It's good to catch up with people. I hope we do much more of that. But let's always put the Lord first. Give him his rightful place. So we ask the question, how? How can we forget the Lord? It seems impossible, but actually, there is a danger that we can do it. And even as a believer of many years, you can still do this each week if you're not careful. We have to bring our day and every matter before the Lord. But the second question is why? Why would we forget the Lord? What possibly could make us do this? Well, so often it is pride. It is our hearts. It is that strong-willed rebellion in many respects. We like to be in control. Now, as you know, I have a grandson, and I'm happy to announce I'm going to have another grandson as well, because Ben and Sally will be having an addition to the family next March. And if the second child is anything like the first child, well, he likes his own way. 15 months old, he's got everybody on a string doing what he wants to do. He wants to walk. He needs to hold a finger to walk. That's the only thing he needs. But you have to give him your finger, because if you don't, he'll give you lots of noise. But wanting our own way. So again, thy will be done is our prayer. Not my will be done, Lord, with your backing, but your will be done with my strength, my energy, with everything that I am. Total surrender is the way to prosper. That's what this chapter teaches. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Give it your all. Half-hearted commitment allows room for other things to take the Lord's place. And that's, sadly, we'll all have known something of this. And perhaps even this morning, there are some here and not here because of this. So often, things get in the way. Things move in and take us from gathering together with God's people. Let's not give up meeting together. That's the exhortation from Hebrews. Commit ourselves to Him. Now I know it's not just about being in a building. It's serving the Lord. And sometimes that takes us out of the building. And that's good, of course, to serve the Lord. Let's give Him our all, our hearts, our souls, our strengths. Do not follow other gods, follows on in this passage, the gods of other people around you. That was part of the situation as God's people move into what God has promised them. They lived alongside others who had different gods. You live in a world with people who have different gods. Different focuses, different aims, different ways. Yes, we seek to influence for Christ, but others are at work seeking to influence in other ways. And we have to be careful. We have to constantly keep coming back to what has the Lord said? What does the Lord require of us? We are to remember the Lord in every matter, not to forget Him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we're told there to remember our Creator in our early days because life fills up with troubles and problems. Strangely, in chapter 12, it also says, remember Him just as the cord of life is to be cut. Remember Him with your last breath and remember Him in your early days. I think I would like to add, please remember Him every day in between. Walk with Him on the paths that He has prepared. Let Him help you through life's struggles. Moses stresses the need to have the commandments not in a little pocketbook in our back pocket, upon our hearts. It's a matter of devotion, not just mental assent, ticking off tick boxes, but a devotion to the Lord. Now, this side of Calvary, we have God's Spirit within our hearts as we believe. We have His Word and can hide His Word in our hearts to draw upon, so that we can think with the mind of Christ. These are wonderful things that are ours through our faith in the Lord Jesus. But even in what is described here of passing on to the next generation, to the children, upon their hands, upon their heads, upon door frames, what's being said here is, speak of the Lord often with each other. Speak of Him in all that you do. Speak of Him in all that you think. Speak of Him wherever you go. In other words, don't be a casual Christian. This is no casual approach. Sometimes people think, here's law with rules and here's grace with no rules. That's not so. That's to misunderstand, because grace does not mean that we are careless and casual. The Spirit-filled life is a life lived with careful precision to God's Word, not less, not, oh, it doesn't matter anyway, but because of what God has done for us in Christ, in dying for us on the cross, we want to live for Him fully, wholeheartedly, in every area of our lives. So with our hearts, our minds, and our wills, followers of Christ, yes, are set free. Free from sin. Free from the struggle of just in our own strength But when our hearts are His, there is compassion in those hearts. When our minds are His, there is community and humility towards one another. When our wills are His, there is sacrifice and service. All the things that we want, all the things that make the world a better place, are for those whose hearts are given over to our Lord and Saviour. Why would we forget the Lord? How could we forget Him? But let's be positive at the end of this message this morning. How can we avoid forgetting the Lord? What positive steps can we take? And if time would allow, and it won't this morning, but you can read it through again, there are so many things that Moses says to the Israelites to do. Fear Him, it says. Fear Him. Not in a cowering, hiding away, but revere with awe and wonder. Give Him His rightful place. Fear the Lord your God. Serve Him. Serve Him only. We are His servants. Trust Him. Don't test Him. Don't think you know better. Beware of presumption. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your paths straight. Yes, obey Him. Keep yourself for Him. Love Him. Thank Him. They're all in this chapter. And they're all relationship things. Not cold, but because of His love, because of our relationship with Him in Christ. Fear Him. Serve Him. Trust Him. Obey Him. Do all these things with Him, towards Him. So there's quite a full, extensive action plan. But you know, for us, as we come to any passage of in God's Word, we are listening, as the hymn suggested earlier. We need to be listening. Hear, O Israel, it says. Hear, O Israel, listen, and listen carefully. As we've been looking at Revelation 2 and 3 in Bible study, again and again we're met with, He who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. We need to listen carefully. And again here, we need to observe. Look closely. We need to be careful. It says that on three occasions here. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Let us not be careless Christians, but careful in looking at what the Lord has said. And as we do, what promises are made as we remember the Lord, as we bring Him into every area of our lives? Well, it speaks here of the blessings of long life. Well, certainly a stress-free or stress-less life. When we're giving everything over to the Lord, that's going to make a difference. If we're weighed down with worry and concern this morning, let's try this. Let's hand it all over to Him, that we might know the blessing of a longer life, certainly. Things will go well, it says. That's what God promises His people, when we do things His way. And don't you find that? Sometimes it takes us a long time to come round to doing it His way. But here it's speaking of prosperity, and I'm not talking of a prosperity gospel, but just God's good hand upon His people, bringing a rich life, a life in its fullness, the way God wanted it to be. Careful Christianity. I mean, how many accidents happen when people are careless? Whether it's in a car, you know, people not looking, or if somebody's given a job to do and they don't make notes of what's involved, and before you know it, oh, I don't know what you're supposed to do now. So if we do this in the world, in life, how much more in our spiritual walk with the Lord? For me, be it Christ, hence to live, it is well with my soul. The Apostle Paul spoke of remembering Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that in a few moments at this table. We're going to remember his power over death, his glorious eternal life. We're going to remember that through him, we have a life in its fullness, an abundant life. We prosper because of what our Saviour went through for us. It said at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 6 that in doing all this is our righteousness. The Apostle Paul would later reflect on law keeping and say, well, we can't keep this. The standard is too high. But Christ is our righteousness. He has kept this. He has done this in perfection for us. And so this morning, as we come to the table, as we can drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we can remind ourselves and say thank you to Jesus for what he's done for us. We can hear the words as we come to the table. We can observe the symbols on the table, and we can be careful to commit ourselves to following him. But we might not forget him this week. Whatever the situation, when it arises, let us bring everything to him. Let's call out and call upon him that we might prosper, that we might live in the righteousness that he has brought through the cross. Let's take a minute to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that from these early days, as you were building a people, as you were establishing your people in this world, and then that from them to bless the world through your Son, we thank you that now we, your church, meet together because of what he has done for us in the grace, knowing the grace of God. And we just thank you that it is this way, that we are not, Lord, just trying to keep rules to please you. But Lord, we want to be careful in what we do. We don't want to be casual. We don't want to let you down. Deepen our walk with you, even through meeting at your table. Deepen, Lord, our faith and our dependency upon you. Lord, we talked at the beginning of memories of what you've done in the past, in this place, in our lives. Lord, can we make more new memories now? Lord, meeting with you, knowing your touch upon our lives. Seal this word in our hearts. Lord, Moses spoke there of having the word upon the head, upon the hand. May your word be sealed in our hearts. And may we reflect much upon being a careful Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we come to thee this morning. We express our need of you, our faith in you. Forgive us, Lord, where we have forgotten you or are in danger of forgetting you. Keep us close to yourself, Lord. Help us around your table now to do this in remembrance of you, Lord. For any who have to leave us, Lord, may they go with your parting blessing. Lord, take them into the week. May they know your presence with them. And Lord, may they with us constantly echo that chorus, I need thee, oh I need thee, in this situation, in that situation, whatever the need might be. Bless and keep us, Lord. May your face continue to shine upon us, here, now, and always. In Jesus' name, amen.